Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now.
What is up, Game Pass or Pass subscribers? Corey here. Just a quick note at the beginning of the episode. The audio on this one's a little rough. I had a computer crash, basically, so my mic settings were all messed up. I thought I had them dialed in correctly, but we did not know until after we hit the record and all that fun stuff that the output was much rougher than I anticipated. So I did my best to clean it up so it's not blowing out your eardrums, but I promise next week it'll be better. So for this episode, apologize, but let us know what you thought of Bleeding Edge. Take care. Now time for a very edgy edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service and tell you which games to pass on to your friends and which games to simply pass on by. But in this case, it might be a game to play with your friends, because we're going to be talking about Ninja Theory's Bleeding Edge. What does that even mean, actually, now that I'm thinking about it?
What does a lot of the things mean when it comes to the aesthetic of this game, really?
Like, because I was thinking more like the edge of a sword, but there really isn't. It's just kind of a sword.
Yeah, we'll get more into it.
But before we do that, I got a little housekeeping at the beginning of this show. If you're listening to this podcast for the first time, welcome. I am Corey. I am joined by Basher. We play Game Pass games. All of them. Not all of them, a lot of them.
No, we're playing all of them. That's the goal.
Every single one?
That's
every single one. Every single one. But if this is your first time or you listened to the last Doom episode, we're back on track now with Bleeding Edge. We're not going to be playing any of those fancy non-Game Pass games, those full $60 games, because I don't know. We don't have one to play at the moment. So
I also can't afford it. I got laid off from the coronavirus.
So if be safe out there to date this episode. The world's in chaos. Might not be warranted. Don't know. We'll never know.
You think it's a hoax too? Finally, someone agrees with me.
It's not a hoax, but seems a little extreme. But this is not a political podcast. Let's talk about Bleeding Edge. This game is developed by Ninja Theory, famous for DMC, Devil May Cry, as well as Hellblade: Setsuna's Sacrifice. Or no? Now I'm second guessing it. Is that the name of the sequel?
There's a sequel to this game already?
Oh, to Hellblade.
Oh, I don't know. No one's going to play that game.
Hellblade. No, Senua's Sacrifice. As well as Heavenly Sword on the PS3. But they are now owned by Microsoft. They were purchased not too long ago, so they are now a Microsoft first-party studio, which is why Bleeding Edge came out day in and date with the regular release, which is normally $29.99. on Xbox One and PC. This game does feature crossplay between PC and Xbox One. Since it's not on the other platforms, that's all it is. There will be DLC. There is microtransactions for all of your lovely skins and emotes and all that fun stuff. The game is Xbox One X enhanced. Can't tell you how it's enhanced because nobody seems to know. I'm sure it's got a higher pixel count, but it does also support HDR for you Xbox One S and Xbox One X owners. That being said, let's talk about Bleeding Edge, the 4v4 combat.
I have a question.
Okay.
Maybe you have an answer.
Maybe. I don't.
About to find out and ask this question. Is this... Was this game in development before or after the purchase by Microsoft?
The word is before.
Okay, that's good news.
Supposedly this was like a game that had been sort of in the pipeline, or this is something that they had been working on for a while, but they just, you know, didn't have... Ninja Theory is not a large team by any means, and, you know, they are kind of known for pushing their tech a little bit. You know, Hellblade had a lot to do with audio tech as well as sort of facial expression tech. And so this game is very much not up their alley kind of thing. You know, there's DMC Devil May Cry, which I think that game will always sort of be debated whether or not it was a good game or not. I fall on the side of great action game, but a terrible Devil May Cry game. I feel like that they sort of missed the...
I think it's just the truth of the matter.
Yeah, again, depends who you ask kind of thing. But this game has a lot, you know, this game kind of feels like a multiplayer to maybe like a Devil May Cry game. But it is a 4v4 game only. There features two modes. Could not tell you what they're called because I don't think it matters. One is more of a traditional capture the point, where points sort of randomly, there's an A, B, and C. Sometimes they're open, sometimes they're not. And then there's a sort of collect-a-thon mode to where you have to collect these orbs and you have to sort of cash them in. And whoever gets the most points and gets to the score first wins kind of thing. And that's really all it is. But where the character and sort of what's what I'm looking for? I won't say niche, but this game is all about the classes. This is all about picking your role. We're going to pick a tank. You're going to pick a healer. You're going to pick a damager. Is that what they call them? What do they call them? They call them something really weird, don't they?
Tank.
Like tank, healer, and you're attacker.
Right. You're right.
Okay. Or so, it's something very, very strange.
Right.
Yeah. So they call them fighters. So what's also strange is that there are 12 fighters, but only 11 made it into the final release. Miko, which is one of the defense characters, was in the beta, but is not in the final game yet. Obviously, it will be coming, but they apparently thought it was not. She was not ready for prime time yet. And Miko is a dolphin inside of a robot that the dolphin then controls. And that gives you sort of a idea of these characters. These characters are very stylized. This isn't a world where, what's the word I'm looking for? Body modifications are a thing. And they became sort of the hot thing. So you've got people that have cybernetic spines and legs and limbs, and then you've got people that have fancy masks that are like.
Can we start right here? Like, cause okay, so this is kind of like what threw me off from the get go. Is like, it's Ninja Theory, and they're known for making ninja-esque games, I guess. It's in their name, it's in their brand, and then the character they show off the most, like I think it's like on the title screen even, is a what we Americans consider like a traditional kind of ninja-looking character.
Yes.
But as you've just gone on to describe, the game's called Bleeding Edge. Yes. We don't know what the Bleeding Edge refers to. And then the aesthetic of the game is a cel-shaded art style where body horror is kind of like the name of the game. It's like, so what does this overweight,
Buttercup
ganking tank on a motorcycle have to do with a somewhat traditional ninja character? Like it's a weird eclectic gathering of styles in this one game.
Yeah, a lot of this game feels like to me it sort of feels like when why am I blanking on studio's names? Who made Spider-Man?
Insomniac.
It's like when Insomniac made Sunset Overdrive, you know, like that game, it looked really cool. And it flows well. Like when you look at Bleeding Edge, like all of the characters look like they should be in the same universe kind of thing. But at the same time, the universe is just kind of like what is it? like what is this world kind of thing. So while they all are stylized, you don't get a lot of
And I'm going to compare it a lot to other games in the other genre, because why wouldn't you? So like the big, like, because the king at the moment is Overwatch, obviously.
Right.
And if you just look at the characters of Overwatch, you can argue, like, do they kind of fit in together? But there's enough kind of intro there, just like when you first build the game, where it's like, all right, well, here's a story, here's... They also had like the character character introductions too on YouTube and stuff. So it's like you can kind of get why there's a guy who came back from the dead with twin shotguns.
Right.
And even if you don't, you just kind of accept it. Whereas this is like, why is there a half Raptor lady running around kicking people in the face? Like, what happened here?
Right, and I mean,
there's not a lot of answers there.
To be fair, that was kind of one of my biggest criticisms of Overwatch as well. But that's because Overwatch, and I wouldn't be surprised if this game was the same way. Like, Overwatch came about because of a canceled MMO. Like, you had all of these different sort of factions and character classes and all that. So that's why Overwatch, at least in theory, became what it is. That's why everything looks different. And I wouldn't be surprised if this game was also at one point supposed to be something else, and that right. sort of turned into this 4v4 game. But I mean, yeah, I guess what I would say is, like, if it didn't bother you in Overwatch, I don't know if it's going to bother you here.
I don't know. Like, it's, I feel like Overwatch has a little bit more of a cohesiveness to it. Like, whereas, like, because you're right. Overwatch does seem, it could be looked at as pretty random, but this is completely random, like just utterly randomness. And I'm just like, okay, I don't know how anything, I have no idea how this world works whatsoever, period. Like, this, I have no idea how anything works. So it's just a hodgepodge of characters just randomly doing things, and those things that they do, honestly, they're not too bad. They're also not too exciting either.
Yeah, I think let's sort of move on to the gameplay. I mean, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's hard to talk about, but there isn't a lot. There's not a lot here in terms of like, support's not the word, but there's not a lot to do other than kind of beat each other up and move from point A to point B. Like, that's it. And a lot, you know, you have your, I don't want to say your classes, but you've got your three mains, you got your tanks, you got your healers, and you've got your attack givers or your damage givers, and they all sort of work cohesively, but none of them really stand out, if that makes sense. Like, I don't ever feel like when I'm switching characters, like, I feel like I'm switching how I play. So I sort of ended up sticking with the same character. Like, I think Gizmo is the only character that I felt somewhat different with. And she's sort of because this game is very much a in your face game for the most part. You're doing a lot of melee attacking. You're doing a lot of, damage up close. Whereas Gizmo is sort of, she uses a chain gun. So she sort of kind of stands back and kind of nickels and dimes you till you get annoyed. And then you have to sort of try to go get her. But then she's got some abilities that let you sort of get away quickly. So, but other than that, most of the time you're just sort of wailing on the face button, possibly a bumper to do your abilities, which usually just end up causing more damage. I think Nidhogger, it's German, I don't know how to pronounce it, is the guy that carries the guitar. He was sort of my main, and that was because he had a power slide, which sort of let me get away quickly, but you can also burn enemies. He's got fire breath, which just burns enemies. And then a boomatar, which is basically he throws it to slow him down. So, like, it became kind of my loop was beat up on somebody, set them on fire. When they try to get away, boomatar them so that way they can't get away. And then I usually did enough damage to take them out. But if I didn't, then I had the power slide to sort of finish him off, kind of thing. So there wasn't a lot of different strategies when I was playing, but I also sort of stuck to one character. So you kind of played a different role than I did, though. So I'm curious I was mainly an attacker, but you were kind of a healer mostly.
Yeah, so like my favorite character was Mercio, as I like to call him. It's clearly a marriage of Mercy and Lucio. So it's like, I mean, he even kind of looks like it.
Yeah. For the record, his name in this game is Zero Cool.
Zero Cool. That's the name is. I think he's a hacker, maybe? Like, again, like the names, even the names are kind of random. So it's like, his whole thing is, he's essentially Mercy in Vanilla Overwatch, where he has the healing stream, where you lock onto an ally, and you just hold down the button, and he'll heal you. He'll keep you in a fight. And he is the healer, by the way.
Right.
So, like, again, it's just like Vanilla Overwatch, where it's like, if you didn't have Mercy, like, in your party, is kind of pointless. Like, you could, like, because there's other supports. You had, like Kulev and I think it was Miko. And, like, Miko had this area heal where they basically drop, like, heal. A totem or something.
Right.
And as long as you're in that area, you'll get heals, but none of that was nearly as effective as Zero Cool just being on you, because he'll keep you in a fight against two, maybe even three enemies at a time.
Right.
And it's crazy.
And that was like the – so Miko has like a – she. It's hard to know, because unless you played as her, you don't know, because people are very bad at this game, which we'll talk about. She has a passive where if you're just standing by her, you actually get healed. It's not a lot, but it's enough that, like, if she's playing her role right, she's sort of staying in the back and healing people, but also she can do damage kind of thing. But she should be a ganker. Like, she should be someone that's sort of picking and choosing her spots very carefully. But because she's got a giant staff, everyone just sort of runs around with her and tries to beat them up like Swing Mina from Soul Calibur. But yeah, so – and then Kulev is what they call a more advanced character, and he –
that's what
they say. But he, as far as I know, he can't actually heal, right?
He does he has a passive too that's also continuously heals nearby allies.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's not. If you're running a squad and it doesn't have Mercio, then you're doing it wrong.
Right.
It just really comes as simple as that. You can have the other healers in there as well, but they're just not going to keep you in a fight like Zero Cool does.
Which Zero? I want to know what Zero Cool comes from. It's so different. It's so different than the rest of the the squad. So I just find that interesting. But no, yeah, that was kind of, but. What we found was that I legitimately am not trying to brag, but like we only lost like twice, and we played probably like what 25 matches.
Oh yeah, we have a disgusting record.
Yeah, it was kind of dumb, and so I don't know if our opinion of this game is, I don't want to say it's not correct, but our opinion is jaded because maybe it was just opening week, maybe it was just who we got paired with, but like people are not playing this game correctly.
Exactly. I was about to say exactly that. They're just not playing it correctly. This game, and it's not necessarily the fault of the player, because I think I said this during our gameplay. This game is stuck somewhere in between MOBA in hero shooter, and it doesn't quite know where it's at yet, because as you're playing it, you get a feel like it's a MOBA and you should be running around ganking people and taking people out and just kind of doing a team deathmatch sort of thing. But that's really to the back burner of the point of the, or rather the focus of the game or the game types. Like, because once you play the objectives, it's a lot harder to lose, I found.
Yeah. And it's mainly because what happens is that, like, everyone just wants to run in the middle and just beat each other up. Like, f- fine, like, I guess, but there were literal games where people were just literally not playing the objective. Like, the objectives would come up, and you and I are the only ones running to them and taking them. And it's not like they take a long time to take. Like, they take, like, 2 seconds. It's one of the quicker sort of captures I've played, and I'm not sure if I'm a fan of it.
Really?
Yeah, it's almost too fast. And that was the main reason, like, because you were playing a healer and I was usually playing some sort of damage giver, we were able to just sort of run around and just destroy everyone because they were either running off by themselves or they were not playing a good combo. They had either 2 damage or 2 tanks or, you know, something. And when we did lose, it was usually because the other team was playing the objective and our team was not. Like, you and I were trying to, but the other people that we were with were not. We were even ridiculed by some. It was never change Xbox Live. It was Joey something, wasn't it?
Joey Bagger Chips.
Joey, you're kind of a jerk.
He's very upset, even though we were winning.
Yeah, we won, and he was upset, and it was just one of those I haven't had a moment like that in Xbox Live in a long time, where it's just like someone is just highly upset at you for really no reason. but then he started complimenting us after certain things. He's like, "Oh, nice ult," and I was just like, "Okay." Like, but also, why could we hear him? Because we were in a party. I want to know.
Wait, whoa.
Yeah.
You just blew my mind there.
Yeah, we shouldn't have been able, and he couldn't hear us, obviously. So that was a strange thing.
So when it comes to the combat of this game, what I think I'm having is not visceral enough. So, like, there's a character you alluded to already. She's a tank by the name of Buttercup. And she has a yank ability that pretty much every tank and every MOBA, every hero shooter has now, where you've seen it before. It's Warthog, Pudge, it's Scorpion, it's all those people who they let out some sort of chain-like attack. It grabs the enemy and it pulls them close. The thing about that is, you said Scorpion. When Scorpion grabs you, you get a visceral uppercut and you're on your butt instantly. With like Roadhog and Overwatch, you get that hook and you're either off the map or you're getting a shotgun to the mouth and you're like, whoa, I need to heal and to get out of here. With this game, there's no visceral gut punch. It feels like a MOBA light where it's like, Because once you get a yank with this character, it's like you can follow up with like a whiplash attack where she just kind of swings her arms around.
Yeah.
But nothing happens to you. Like, you don't, like you don't fall, you don't get knocked back. There's no gut punch to it. Like, and that's the issue with all of the attacks. Like, none of them have this sort of oomph to them.
I mean, it's more that it just there really isn't any strategy. Like, the strategy with her was basically beat up on someone till they try to run away and then hope you have your yank, because your yank will usually be enough to yank them and then continue to do enough damage so they die, basically. Which, I mean, I guess you could argue that's the strategy, but that became the strategy every single time. None of the characters really work together, if that makes any sense. Like having like a Miko and a Buttercup doesn't necessarily give you a benefit in any capacity to having maybe a Zero Cool and a Buttercup. Like, they don't play and they don't, there's just no cohesiveness the way that sometimes when you're in other MOBAs or other character class shooters or hero shooters, or you want to call them, where it's like, okay, you're going to run this character. Well, I'm going to run this character because of this. That is basically non-existent here. And again, maybe that will come in time. Sometimes you have to sort of keep playing to sort of discover them. But there just doesn't seem
but
to
it was,
be.
It wasn't even organic, though. Like, I remember playing like Overwatch, like when like vanilla Overwatch, where you had like Reinhardt, like And like you'll be playing with a Reinhardt, and he'll do his charge, and before he does the charge, he'll let you know, like, hey guys, I have my charge. Reaper, do you have your ult? Like,
right.
There was some sort of like, hey, do you have this? I have this. You have that. You have that. Wait, don't do that yet, because I have this. There was none of that, because it was just, again, there was no, and I think I said this during the gameplay as well. There was no, it lacks a flash. It lacks that special button.
There's no it factor.
Right.
In any capacity, and the visual style, it looks neat and unique, but it's not. When you look at it, you're not gonna be like, okay, like that looks awesome. I should play that. It's just like, okay, like that looks cool. Like, and the gameplay, like there's nothing about it that's just like, oh man, like I want to play this game because it looks awesome. Like, no, it just kind of looks like you're beating people up kind of thing. Like there's nothing that makes it stand out other than, I don't know, the free on Game Pass. I don't.
No, absolutely. Cause I mean, again, I'm going to keep comparing it to it's, to the King, like, because that's kind of like what they want to shoot after. Like, you can go on to Reddit right now. If you go down enough pages on the front page, you might get a play of the game from Overwatch just randomly, and it right. looks cool. Like, you might see McCree get 5 shots off and go, whoa, like, how do you
clutch moment spot? Yeah,
like something. But like this game, like at the end, it will show your best, your highlight, and it looks
boring. It's usually just you running somewhere.
It's bad.
Like, I don't quite understand what, like, that can't be the purpose of that, right? Like, that has to be one of those things that's like, well, Overwatch does it, like, so we have to do it kind of thing. I think Call of Duty does it too, don't they? Yeah, they do it as well. They do sort of the play of the match. And a lot of times the Call of Duty one is as well is sometimes not a great
Call of Duty moment, just but... is the last play, the last kill of the game, right? I'm pretty sure. No, it also is play.
It varies, yeah. Sometimes it'll do last play, and I'm sure there's some sort of algorithm at work that sort of tries to determine that, but it seems at Bleeding Edge there is no algorithm. It's nope. Just like, what was the last 10 seconds? Like, exactly. Show that. Yeah, and I'm just like, So, but all that being said, like, I think that in its current state, it's kind of just there, but there's something there. Like there's enough good here. Like, we had enough fun that I would be like, okay, like in a couple months, if they dropped a big update, I'd be like, all right, let's check it out. Like,
absolutely. I agree with that.
But in its current state, I'm also just like, I don't know about this one, guys. Like I want to support it because I think it's neat and I can see something, but it's very hard to just be like, yeah, you should go play Bleeding Edge. Like, if we could get a group of 4, that would be something like, hey, we should do Bleeding Edge, because we would just roll the competition so hard that it would be kind of fun to do that. You know, like, anything is always more fun when you're just rolling everybody, like just destroying everyone. So I think that could be fun. But in terms of just like 2 people, it's just, I don't see it. It's hard to suggest this game at this time.
Yeah, it needs more. Right, because I don't want to say polished, because Ninja Theory did a pretty darn good job of creating the look and feel of the game. It's not like it's rough around the edges per se.
Right, like you're not going to look at it and not know what game it is. Which is important. Like, I definitely saw like clips of Paladins once, which is the game from Hi-Rez. Is that right?
Yeah,
Hi-Rez?
Yeah. And what are you talking
about? I was like, is this like some Chinese Overwatch clone?
Right, exactly. Like, yeah.
I guess it kind of is, kind of thing. Don't, if you play that game, I'm sorry. Don't hate me. I've never played it, so I can't comment. But
I'm pretty sure it's done now. I think they shut it down.
I don't think that's true.
Pretty sure.
Let's find out.
They shut down one of these Overwatch clones. I'm pretty sure that was it. Was another one they shut down?
I mean, there's only like 100 of them.
101 now.
No, Paladins is still up.
So. Okay, all right. One of them got shut down.
I've played a lot of Smite, so people, if you're freaking out, trust me, Smite is a fantastic video game. But... No, so maybe we should play Paladins.
Maybe we shouldn't. Like, no.
So that said, so when it comes to the point of the show, Game Pass or Pass, like, there's something cool here, but it's not.
I mean, I'm sorry, but it's not at the moment worth install. I mean, here's my issue. It's not even like there are things you can do to extend your game. Extend your the life of the gameplay right now, because it's like when you go into the cosmetics and the upgrades, because that's the other thing. You can, one huge positive I think is that there is a upgrade system. I think it's chip based.
Correct.
So like you'll unlock chips or you can buy chips, like whether with in-game money or real currency, of course, like every other game now. And you can use these chips to create your own loadout specific to you and your character. So my Zero Cool will have the same abilities as your Zero Cool. However, the cooldowns will be different. The area of effect will be different. The range will be different. A lot of things will change depending on what chips you have installed. I think that's a really cool mechanic. And that's something that could keep you playing. However, it takes roughly 77 days to get enough currency.
Long time, yeah. And it's per chips. Character. Because there's, like you said, I think it's just like gold and then there's a gear. The gear is sort of the premium currency, which is your overall account. But to unlock the chips, you have to upgrade the character. So, and each character is its own level. So unless you're playing the same character over and over, like I think the highest character I got was like 6, and like I said, we played quite a few matches, and that was I mainly played one character the whole time, so about 20 to 25 matches got me 4 to 5 levels. And so when you extrapolate that over the rest of the game, like that's a long time.
It is too long.
Yeah, way it's too just long. Too long. Yeah,
so it's not even like something I can say like keep it installed, play it every now and then you'll get something, because again, to compare it to Overwatch, vanilla Overwatch only had like a few things to unlock anyway. Oh, on top of the golden guns being the big thing. So like once you get the golden gun, it's like, okay, I did it. Like we're good to go here. Whereas like this has a lot of stuff to unlock, and it's like it's taken way too long to get to any of it. And it's just a grind.
And I think my issue with that is that even though the chips and stuff are cool, because of the lack of cohesion of like the characters, I tend to do stuff that just benefits me. If that makes sense, like having a increased effect on my burn radius on my character doesn't really help the team. It just helps me. Like, so I'm once again further sort of distancing myself from my team in terms of building my character. So like it just, I guess the problem is that I just don't know if Ninja Theory, and in this case Microsoft, are they going to stick with this game? Like, are they going to stick with it to the point to where they are? Like, Overwatch, my biggest criticism of Overwatch was on consoles, A, you couldn't get the $40 version because that was not a $60 game. But at least here, Microsoft isn't charging full price for it. Even if you don't have Game Pass, it's only $30, which I think is the right move. But that being said, if they're only charging $30, are they going to stick with it? Like, are they – there's only like 2 or 3 skins per character. Are they going to do more skins? Are they going to do more chips? Are they going to raise the level cap? Are they going to make new characters? Like I said, Mako's not in it and Mako will be in it, but are there going to be new characters after that? And I think that's sort of the big question. But not only – like in the case of Overwatch – they make significant changes to that game all the time. And as much as I hate that game for doing that, at least it keeps it interesting. Whereas
the Overwatch game type of move the payload.
Right.
It's I'm not saying it's groundbreaking, but it's unique to it essentially. At least in its genre. Whereas like this is capture the point.
Right. I sort of said that earlier, but like and it's super, it really lacks a mode that is just anything new. Like, there's nothing new about any of the games.
It's called Bleeding Edge, and it has all these interesting looking characters with these interesting abilities and interesting traversal maneuvering. Because, like, when.
Right.
So it's like, and it's like, and the best you guys could come up with is capture the point.
Right.
Like, it needs new game modes. It needs a like an oomph factor. It needs something to make it really truly stand out from being some sort of MOBA hero shooter, hero action game hybrid.
Right. And so I'm super interested in this game in terms of the Game Pass scenario, because I'm wondering what Game Pass did for the player count on this game and what it's going to do for the future of the game. Are people going to bounce off of it? You know, are people going to stick with it? Is it going to be something when they do a big update, Microsoft's going to put the time and effort to get the word out kind of thing? You know, and, you know, we joked about it last week, you know, like, oh, they should tell people Bleeding Edge is coming out. But in reality, you know, kind of serious, like, you know, because Chris, friend of the show, you know, talking like, hey, did you play Bleeding Edge yet? And he's just like, I don't know what that is. is that game with the trailer with all the characters in it? And I was like, yes. Like, there's a lot of game, like, it's strange. Like, this game, I feel like, I don't want to say they put it out to die, because that's not the case, but it just doesn't feel like they have a ton of faith in it. And well, I don't know.
The story of Microsoft and games, I feel
So it's, but this is sort of the Game Pass conundrum, you know. You know, when you put your big games out for, quote, you know, a subscription fee versus a flat fee, what does the longevity look like, kind of thing? So and the problem is it hasn't been out long enough for us to sort of figure it out. Like, the only game that really has it is Sea of Thieves, and they have definitely supported Sea of Thieves a lot. We are still not huge fans of that game, but it would be disingenuous to say that they have not supported that game. So we'll see. You know, this will be one that maybe we'll have to revisit down the line. But I think when it comes to the question Game Pass or pass, I think we're in agreement that you should probably pass this one up for now.
Yeah, for keyword for now. It's just this should have kind of been in beta. This should have been the beta, essentially, I feel like.
But it's hard, though, because sometimes these games, you have to release them before you can really understand what the game is. You know, you've got to get it into millions of players of hands versus the 15 people play testing it at the studio, kind of thing.
You're not wrong at all. Yet out of the 15 people, one of them should have said, hey, the game types are boring,
right?
like just do
what
something.
If we did something else?
Yeah, great idea, guys. I have something else in mind. Right. Try that. So, like,
it's kind of a shame, because, you know, I want to like this game more than I do. Like, I genuinely playing it, I was like, this is fun. Like, but if this market just wasn't, like, multiplayer games are hard, man. They're hard to compete in right now, because as much as I hate to say it, like, the carrot on the stick is king. You know, you got to give me something to work for. And, you know, having super fun game type is there, like, that's half the battle, but the other half is that loop of what am I unlocking, kind of thing. And unfortunately, this one just sort of doesn't have either one locked up. If it had one or the other, I think I could push for it a little bit harder, but unfortunately it just doesn't have either one. So that's for Ninja Theory's Bleeding Edge. We're gonna say pass on by. Maybe put it in the trunk. Put it in the trunk. I mean, 6 months when you forget, like, oh, I forgot I had this in the trunk.
I'm honestly starting to feel bad about part of this podcast, because this podcast is Microsoft's Game Pass to Pass podcast, right? So it's like, it's unfortunate that if we're doing a Microsoft somewhat owned IP or a title, 8 times out of 10, we're going to say pass on by it. And I don't understand why. Like, it, and I think it might be because this, I don't think Bleeding Edge is their baby.
No.
And I'm looking forward to seeing what
I mean, Ori is the other one. Like, Ori is the exact opposite. You know, it's just like, this is a reason, like, if you have Game Pass and you don't play Ori, what are you doing?
Right.
Like, so, but you're right. Like, they definitely seem to have more, what are you doing? Like, this game isn't done. That's not fair. I shouldn't say the game's not done, but it definitely, you know, the scariest scenario when it comes to Game Pass is like, are they putting these games out on Game Pass because they just don't have faith in them anymore? You know, like when Halo Infinite comes out, they used to charge $60 for that game. Is it going to come out in Game Pass and be not as robust because of that sort of thing? And I think it's still too early to tell. Because you have stuff like Gears 5 and what was that game from Obsidian? Outer Worlds. You have those massive games that are just very, very large, and they're supporting Gears 5 still. A huge update just came out today, actually. So you've got that, but then you've got the other side of it, and you've got the Bleeding Edges, and it's just the Sea of Thieves, and you're just kind of like, it's hard, man. It's hard. Game development's hard out there right now.
I don't envy them at all. This is definitely one of the games I'm passing on by, but not happily so. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the big update does to this game.
Yeah, so we'll see. So to talk about the future, next week we're going to be taking a step back and looking at a slightly older game by request, Blair Witch. So this game was actually it was unveiled at last year's E3, and then it came out around, I think it was like August. So it was kind of a Game Pass game, but it's a horror first person game based on the Blair Witch sort of, is it canonical? Is that the word I'm looking for? Lore? The Blair Witch lore?
Yeah. You've played it before.
I have, yes.
You played it and beat it.
I have finished Blair Witch on the console. So I'm going to be playing on PC this time just to hopefully get a little bit. That's the other thing. Slightly on Bleeding Edge, if you're playing it, frame rate's a little rough on console right now. They're working on it, but if you can, play it on PC at the moment. But anyways, Blair Witch was a little rough on console, framey and just kind of meh performance-wise. So I'm going to try it on PC this time to see if it helps out a little bit. But
yes, I have played it. I did not finish it, but I look forward to seeing if my opinion changes.
If there's a light at the end of that forest. Get it?
This is going to be a witch at the end, right? That's how this works?
Yeah, a Blair Witch. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. If you're listening to us, why don't you give us a rating on whatever podcast subscription service you're listening to? Ratings always help. And we don't ask for much. We just want some ratings. We want to talk about video games and give us some ratings. That's all we want. That's it. So what are you waiting for? Give us a rating. That's going to do it for this episode. We will see you next week with Blair Witch.
Good day, sirs.